No government can contend with human passions that are unbridled by morality and religion, and our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It won't work for any other kind of people.
That was Lon Solomon, senior pastor of McLean Bible Church, and join us today as Lon brings us a special message from God's Word. And now, here's Lon.
You know, I'd like to begin today by telling us a story. It's a true story right out of the Bible, right out of 1 Kings chapter 22, and it's about a wicked king named Ahab, who was the ruler of the northern kingdom after the nation of Israel split, and a godly king named Jehoshaphat, who was the ruler of the southern kingdom. And one day Ahab asked Jehoshaphat to go with him to capture a city in the northern kingdom named Ramoth-Gilead. And in response, Jehoshaphat said to Ahab, 1 Kings 22, verse 5, "Please inquire first for the word of the Lord on this." Then Ahab gathered all of his prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall we go up against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain?" And all the prophets said, "Go, for the Lord will give the city into the hand of the king." Now, Jehoshaphat might have been just a little bit slow, but he wasn't stupid. And he realized that these were just yes men surrounding Ahab. And so he said, "Isn't there a true prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of him?" I love this, verse 8. And Ahab said, "Well, there is one man that we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. His name is Micaiah." But at Jehoshaphat's insistence, they summoned Micaiah. And when Micaiah arrived, Ahab said to him, "Shall we go up against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain?" And Micaiah said, "Go up and succeed, and the Lord will give you the city." And Ahab could tell that he was being sarcastic, Micaiah was, in mocking the 400 prophets of Ahab. And so Ahab said to him, "Micaiah, how many times must I adjure you to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" Then Micaiah said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These people have no king now. Let each of them go home in peace.'" You understand what he's saying here, right? He's saying if Ahab goes, he's going to die. Then Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, "See there? Didn't I tell you he never prophesies anything good about me?" You don't think that's funny? You know, what's wrong? That's hysterical. Look, he comes in. He says, "I hate this guy. He never says anything good." Then Micaiah says something, and it's terrible. And he turns to Jehoshaphat and said, "See there? That's why I never talked to this guy." Okay. Well, maybe you had to be there. I don't know. You say, "Well, Lon, wait a minute, before you go on, I'm just curious, what does this story have anything at all to do with us?" Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Watch. "Then Micaiah said, 'I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with the host of heaven around him. And the Lord said, who will go and entice Ahab to attack Ramoth-Gilead and meet his death there?' And one spirit said this and another one said that. Then a spirit came forward and said, 'I will entice him.' And the Lord said, 'How will you do it?' And he said, 'I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all Ahab's prophets.'" Now, just so you know how the story ended, Ahab listened to his lying prophets. He went to battle against Ramoth-Gilead, and exactly the way Micaiah promised, Ahab died there. Now, folks, the reason I bring this story up is because it reminds me of what's happening in America today. America today is filled with lying prophets who are trying to entice America into societal suicide, into societal Armageddon. And this is what I want us to talk about today. I want us to talk about three lies that these lying prophets are telling America. And after we expose these three lies for what they are, then I want us to talk about, okay, as followers of Christ who love this land, how can we combat these lies? How can we counteract them in our culture? So, here we go. You ready? Lie number one is that these lying prophets are telling us, they're telling us that it's okay to have a society where there's no absolute standard of right and wrong, no absolute standard of morality which stands above and apart and separate from the prevailing winds of human opinion. Harry Truman said, "I wonder how far Moses would have gotten if he'd have taken an opinion poll in Egypt. What would Jesus Christ have preached if he'd have taken a poll in Israel? It isn't polls or public opinion of the moment that counts. It's right and wrong." Oh, to have a Harry Truman back. And yet, our courts, for example, have removed all absolute definitions of right and wrong when it comes to morality and decency and purity from American society. For example, according to our courts, since no one can absolutely define pornography, therefore, we can't outlaw it. And because of this, friends, what was once only obtainable in the back room of a dusty barbershop can now be gotten in bookstores, on magazine racks, and by our children on television and on the internet. And this is all done under the guise of protected speech. Look here, listen to me. The framers of this nation never intended this kind of filth to be protected speech. And it ought to be outlawed. That's right. It ought to be outlawed in every city. It ought to be outlawed on every website. And it ought to be outlawed on every cable channel in America. But we can't do that because nobody will absolutely brand this stuff as wrong anymore. You say, "Well, Lon, so where can politicians and legislators and educators and judges go to find this kind of absolute standard of right and wrong that stood the test of the ages?" Well, you know what I'm going to tell you. They can go to the Bible. That's where they can go. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. The precepts of the Lord are what? Right. The ordinances of the Lord are what? True." In fact, Jesus said, "Thy word, O Lord, is truth." And here's the really insidious thing, my friends. These lying prophets of America keep telling us that any society built on the absolutes of the Bible is a prehistoric society, an unsophisticated society, a restrictive society, a repressive society, a backward society, an intolerant society, and an unliberated society, when in fact the truth is that any society not based on the absolutes of the Word of God is destined without exception to decline, to decay, and to self-destruct. Just give it enough time and it will happen. It is a lie to be told that we don't need an absolute standard of right and wrong in this nation. Lie number two that these prophets are telling us is that it's okay to have a society where God is absent from every area of that society, to have an utterly secular society. The lying prophets of America are already pushing for that in the public arenas of American society. And my friends, we can be sure if they win the fight in the public arena, the private arena, what you and I do in our personal lives is coming next. I think all of us know about the European Union. I think we all know that it's in deep trouble, not just financial trouble, it's in all kinds of trouble. What you may not know is that back in 2004, when they were finalizing the Constitution for the EU, some of the delegates wanted to mention in the Constitution the Christian heritage of Europe, and a huge fight broke out, and the leader of the opposition was then French President Valéry Giscard d'Estaing, who said, he said, Europeans live in a purely secular political system where religion does not play any important role. Okay, well, how are things going today, Giscard? How they doing, huh? They're not doing well. And you know, the USSR tried to drive God out of every area of society. Nazi Germany tried to drive God out of every area of society. The French Revolution tried to drive God out of every area of society. And the result in every case was disaster. Now, I'm not saying the EU is going to become the USSR or Nazi Germany, but I am saying that they are finding out right now, just like Hitler found out, just like Stalin found out, just like Robespierre found out, and many others, that removing God from human society is like pulling the pin on a hand grenade. It's not going to end well. Now you say, well, what does all this have to do with America? Well, much in every way, folks. In his 2001 book, The Death of the West, Patrick Buchanan said, and I quote, a European-style de-Christianization of America is the goal of many liberals, and they are succeeding. You know, the fascinating thing is that in contrast to Europe, we as Americans don't just have a Christian heritage. More than that, folks, America was conceived in a Christian womb. The very soul of America was shaped by Christian architect. There were the Pilgrims and the Puritans and George Whitefield and the Great Awakening. There was Ben Franklin's call for prayer when the Constitutional Convention was hopelessly deadlocked. There was the Second Great Awakening and the circuit-riding preachers of the 1800s. Our whole court system is based on the jurisprudence of the Bible. And every college and every university established in America before 1776 was established by Christians to train Christian leaders, every one of them. Harvard. Excuse me. Harvard. Student Handbook, 1646. Listen, and I quote, everyone shall consider the main end of his life and studies at Harvard to know God and Jesus Christ. Everyone shall so exercise himself in reading the Scriptures two times a day that he shall be ready to give an account of his proficiency therein upon graduation. Sounds just like Harvard today, doesn't it? But this is how Harvard started. And public education in America was started the same way for 100 years. The backbone of public education in America was the McGuffey Reader, which, if you've ever seen it, is nothing but the Bible taken and put in various levels of educational form for elementary school students. It's just the Bible. We don't even have to go back 100 years. We can go back just to when I was in high school. You say, I thought that was 100 years. No, it wasn't 100 years. Thank you very much. No, it was 40. And when I was in high school in the 60s, you know, we sat in homeroom class. And over the loudspeaker in the entire school, Woodrow Wilson High School, Portsmouth, Virginia, they came on and read out of the Bible. And then someone led in prayer, and everybody bowed their heads and got led in prayer that was ended in Jesus' name. Amen. You say, well, Lon, as a young Jewish boy, how did you feel about that? Friends, my high school career was in so much trouble, I was happy for any help I could get. I'm like, amen, whoever's name, amen. I don't care. Yeah, that's not ancient history. That happened in my lifetime and in many of your lifetimes. But in the last 40 years, the lying prophets in the film industry and in our courts and in our public schools and in our universities and in our legislatures and in every level of the media, there has been an unapologetic attempt, as Patrick Buchanan said, to de-Christianize America. Folks, if a Martian landed on this planet today and spent a month watching our most popular TV shows, listening to our most popular radio stations, sitting in our public school classrooms, and attending our sports events, at the end of that month, he'd never even realized that the concept of God existed in this society unless he happened to hear not a sermon, just a thought on the radio. And it is a lie for us to believe that a society so conceived without God in it, to quote Abraham Lincoln, can long endure. Lie number three. The lying prophets of America want us to believe that it's okay to have a society where we seek to maintain morality by outward legislation instead of by inward religious conviction. Arthur Levitt, former chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission, said in an article, "What's Wrong with Corporate America?" He said, "What we have is an erosion in corporate ethics." He said, listen, no matter how many rules the SEC passes, people without ethics will still find a way to get around them. In other words, friends, what he's saying is that no government can write laws so tight that a dishonest person can't figure out a way to abuse them. And this is the critical mistake that the lying prophets of America want us to buy into. They want us to believe that inner religious conviction is unnecessary in society. They want us to believe that if government and regulatory agencies can just pass enough rules and enough regulations with enough penalties and then just hire enough enforcement agents, that moral behavior will reign in our culture. The fact is, that's a lie. My gosh, there are already so many rules and regulations in this country, you can't even hardly sneeze without breaking some federal statute about something in this land. It's ridiculous. But in spite of that, our jails are full to overflowing. Ponzi schemes abound. Corporate fraud is everywhere. Banks fail to give full disclosure about IPOs, and millions of people lose millions of dollars, etc., etc., etc. Folks, it ain't working. And you know why it ain't working? God tells us why it ain't working. Jeremiah 17:9. He said, "The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Man has a moral problem that's internal, and it cannot be fixed, and it cannot even be controlled by external rules and regulations. Now, the founders of America understood this. They were smart people. John Adams said, second president of the United States, he said, "No government," may I repeat that, "no government can contend with human passions that are unbridled by morality and," what's the next word? "Religion." Our Constitution, he said, was made only for a moral and a what? Religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the governing of any other kind of people. And this is why, contrary to the propaganda of the lying prophets of America, our founding fathers built America on a religious foundation, not on a secular foundation. They rejected the secular foundation of the French Revolution, which was going on at the very same time America was being formed. Liberty, equality, fraternity, they rejected that. And instead, in their wisdom, they chose a religious foundation, the foundation of the Bible, in God we trust, to build this nation on. And if we're ever going to revitalize and preserve this nation, we need to ignore the lying prophets of America and listen to our founding fathers. No government can contend with human passions that are unbridled by morality and religion, and our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It won't work for any other kind of people. Listen to me. All the lying prophets in America and all their followers put together do not have enough votes to control the politics of America if we as Christians mobilized and concentrated our votes. But it is embarrassing how poorly we do that. These lying prophets know how to do it. They're shameless about doing it. They exercise a much greater power over this country than their numbers reflect because we are so bad at it. Now, as a church, we can't be involved in political actions. It's against the law. However, as individual followers of Christ, this is something we all can do and something we all must do. Friends, we must vote. And we must vote. And some of you are not going to like what I'm about to say, but I told you truth is what I'm going to tell you, didn't I? We must vote for candidates based not on their party, based not on their gender, based not on their race. We need to vote for people based first and foremost on where they stand with the truths of the Word of God. All the rest of that is secondary. And we've got a big election coming up, and I'm here to challenge you. Get out there and vote for the candidates that believe what you say you believe by coming to this church. So, now I'm done. Let me just say in closing, as followers of Christ, our duty is to do everything we can to support the moral and spiritual well-being of this land that we love. And how can we help? Four things. Number one, we can lead as many Americans as we can to a saving knowledge of Christ. Number two, we can faithfully proclaim the truth of the Word of God here in our nation's capital and everywhere else in America. Number three, we can train young people along with parents in the knowledge of the Word of God. And number four, we can support political candidates that stand for biblical truth. We're committed as a church to doing all of these things. And so my prayer all the time is that God will help us as a church family, help us help America. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, as you know, everything in Washington is political, even when it's not intended to be. My message today was not intended to be political. It was intended to be biblical. And I hope people will understand that and take it for what it's meant to be. Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage as a church family to be an impact center here in this town for Christ, to do everything we can to preserve this nation that we love. Lord, help us help America. And we pray for our nation, and we ask you, Heavenly Father, from the depths of our heart, to show mercy to our nation, and to bring revival to our nation, and to help us see through the lies of the lying prophets of this nation, and to turn this nation back to a walk with God that is conspicuous and widespread. Only the Holy Spirit can do that, Father, but we pray and beg for that. And we're willing to do our part. But Lord, you have to be willing to do what we can't. So do that, we pray, and bring revival that sweeps this land. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And what did God's people say? Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to So What with Pastor Lon Solomon. So What is a broadcast extension of McLean Bible Church in Northern Virginia. If you would like to listen to today's message, you can download it at mcleanbible.org, and you can also subscribe to our podcast. For service times, directions, or more information about McLean Bible Church, check out our website, mcleanbible.org. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week when Lon answers one of life's most important questions, so what?